Joined now by Manny Navarro of The Athletic. He is on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro, covering the Miami Hurricanes, who have had a major developing news story. That is, Jeff Thomas has been dismissed from the program. Manny, kind enough to join us here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. So, Manny, we'll just kind of start with a basic question. What happened here?
Yeah, well, I mean, by all accounts and people that I've spoken to behind the scenes, Jeff Thomas apparently has had a falling out with the coaching staff over the last couple of weeks. He's been upset about playing time and different issues. And, you know, he played the second fewest snaps of the season in Saturday's win against the Hokies. He only got 28 snaps at receiver. And, you know, it seemed like things were happy after the game. He scored a touchdown. He was a big part of the win. But it kind of carried over into this week. He missed practice Tuesday and Wednesday. And what somebody told me was that today he went in for a meeting with Mark Richt and some of the other offensive assistants. The meeting did not go well. He left angry, said a few colorful words, and Mark Richt finally announced after practice this afternoon that he'd been dismissed from the team.
So in terms of the devolution of all this in some respects, this is a player who, for me, has probably been the standout offensive talent for the Miami Hurricanes this year. Why did the coaching staff start to reduce his playing time, and where do you think that problem began?
Well, I mean, look, Mark Richt, he suspended three of his quarterbacks this season, and he's kind of been, you know, trying to deliver a message, I think, to some of these kids who maybe were treated differently where they played before in high school, where maybe they were sort of given the royal treatment. And I'm not necessarily accusing Jeff Thomas of that, although he does have a history of that in high school, reportedly. But I think he's been trying to come down hard on some of these kids and get more out of them. And Thomas just didn't react well to it. I think this speaks more to the way kids are nowadays. A lot of these high school kids, they come in a little bit more sort of expecting the royal treatment because they were stars wherever they came from. And when you have an old school coach like Mark Richt, that can create some problems. And I think with Jeff Thomas, it just sort of came to a head finally this week.
There's been kind of a growing storyline with the Hurricanes. This week, a lot of you guys are writing about how three of the Hurricanes' four quarterbacks entering the year have been suspended at varying points. I guess it's something that a lot of people have pointed out is, well, where are these problems on defense? Why is it on Mark Richt's side of the ball? Why is it that it's been on and off field struggles for Mark Richt with ostensibly his unit of the team?
Yeah, I mean, what's happened is that unit has struggled, you know, and those guys have been feuding and fighting probably behind the scenes over playing time, over their roles. And on Manny Diaz's side of the ball, I mean, they've just been playing really well. I mean, they're putting up top 10 numbers, and those guys just have a united front. I mean, it's just the way things happen on teams sometimes. And I think, you know, to credit to Manny Diaz, obviously he's got more talent on his side of the ball than Mark Richt does, in my opinion, especially, you know, when you look at the leadership position. I think when you look at this offense, there really aren't, you know, those vocal leaders, those guys who are going to be, you know, sort of keeping everybody in line behind the scenes. Whereas the defense, you've got a whole bunch of seniors and a bunch of guys that have played for Manny for 3 years and respect the hell out of him. And, you know, they sort of set the tone in the locker room, and I think that's what this is a product of.
How much do you think, Manny, that this is part of a culture problem that's going on right now at the University of Miami?
Oh, it's hard to say. Oh, I mean, I think, you know, I look at Mark Richt, and I think, look, this guy had a lot of success at Georgia in the SEC. He had some good teams. You listen to his former players. I mean, I think he did well there. You know, for the most part, you don't hear too many bad stories about Mark Richt to Georgia. Now, the ending wasn't great, but I think here it could just be, like you said, a culture clash. It could just be that he's sort of an old-school guy, very religious guy, and maybe there's just some kids he just doesn't have good relationships with, you know. And Thomas Brown, the offensive coordinator, talked a little bit about it today, about how they got to do a better job recruiting guys, not just who want to come play for the University of Miami and have the talent to play here, but have the mental makeup and can handle sort of what they expect from them. And I think, you know, again, that falls on Richt. He's got to know how to read these kids. I know he's 58 now. He's been doing this a long time.
Oh, that's an excuse, Manny. I covered Bobby Bowden, who was 70, and he found a way to relate to 20-year-olds. And
well,
Richt was there.
Well, you're right, but I think that's why you have to hire the right staff, right? Like, you got to hire the guys beneath you who handle these problems and are able to sort of resolve it. And I'm not sure you have that situation. I think you have some young coaches on this staff who, for whatever reason, I don't think they've handled some of these situations right. You look at the quarterback room, the three suspensions. Well, the quarterback room is where John Rick did, the 28-year-old guy who doesn't have a ton of experience. I think Bobby always surrounded himself around people who were around the game enough and knew the kids well enough and knew how to handle them. And I think on this staff in particular, there's some guys that are either out of touch or just don't have the experience and know how to handle these kids.
Now, a lot of what I see, you know, Manny, this has been one of the most disappointing Hurricane seasons because primarily they had talent and they had expectations and it's just fizzled out. Coaches have to take responsibility. Players have to take responsibility. Are they not being coached properly? And if they and or is this an issue where players don't have the mental makeup or the work ethic to do what they're being coached to do?
Look, I've talked to some of the former guys who have been around the program. Brett Romberg spent a couple weeks here with the kids in the film room, you know, just sort of talking to them and getting an understanding. He told me that to him, they're getting the right kind of coaching. The message that Stacey Searles is delivering in the film room is the right message. Bryant McKinney's been around here. You know, Joaquin Gonzalez, different guys who were part of the championship past, and they say, look, the kids are different nowadays a little bit. You know, they're not reacting the way you expect them to. And I go back to how we started this conversation. A lot of them, I think, just expect to come into college and play right away. And when a coach sort of, you know, puts them in check and says, hey, man, you're not ready yet. You're not doing all the things we need you to do. You're not, you know, if you're running back, you're not pass protecting the way we need you to pass protect. You're not playing for your teammates the way you need to play for your teammates. Those guys are just used to picking up and running. I mean, you look at it, Omar, how many kids transfer high schools multiple times now where it's just like a revolving door?
Oh, wow. That's an excellent point, Manny. They don't like one coach or one coach is not playing them. They just go to another school.
Right. And I think that's sort of what's happened. I think that's sort of what's happened with a lot of these kids.
And it's, I guess my problem in reconciling that, we're joined here by Manny Navarro, The Athletic. My problem with reconciling what you're saying, which I think is an accurate observation by someone who's been around this sport a long time, I guess the problem for me with Jeff Thomas is he was playing a lot. He leads the team in receptions and yards, and he's an important part of their offense. If even that isn't good enough, then isn't he basically then saying, well, I think there's something wrong schematically or our quarterbacks aren't very good.
Or our offense has 8 plays in it.
Right. Like that we don't have enough to accentuate my skill because in theory, he's the best player on the team and he's performed like it. So him demanding or wanting more is kind of an indictment of everything else because I feel like, in my opinion, has held up his end.
Right. Well, I mean, I can't sit here and theorize, you know, what I wish I had spoken to Jeff and had a chance to ask him what he was going through. I mean, we could sit here and guess, but I can tell you the facts. The facts are he was the most targeted receiver on his team, 60 targets this season. I think the next closest guy was like 44 or something like that. And then as far as just snaps, he played the second most snaps behind Lawrence Cager, offensive snaps. I mean, so the opportunities were there for him. I think in the end, it just could be a frustration with Mark Richt and maybe the way Richt is talking to him and the discipline and the expectations that he wants him to meet, and he's just not doing it. It could be a lot of different things. I don't know. I think in the end, what we're seeing here is a situation where the best player from the Miami Hurricanes offense is gone. He's been dismissed from this team, and it's been a really disappointing season. So in the end, this is always going to fall back on Mark Richt, and it's going to just be a poor reflection of him. You can't get your best player in line, and you're losing games that you shouldn't lose. And so I think that's just the way it's going to be viewed, regardless of you know what it was Jeff Thomas was upset about.
Couple more for you. One is, where are they from here at the wide receiver position?
Well, look, they got a whole lot. They had one of their best recruiting classes ever, I think, at the receiver position last year. But we haven't seen a whole lot of those guys. Mark Pope was at the top of that list. He finally had his first catch Saturday against Virginia Tech. He's an uber-talented kid, but again, he's been behind D. Wiggins and other guys, other freshmen who have played more than he has. So, look, they got 7 guys at the receiver position who have a catch this year, so I don't think it's going to be, you know, a lack of experience. Those guys have all played and been in reps. I think it's just a matter of, you know, who's the game-breaker in this offense now because Jeff Thomas took the top off that defense a lot. I don't know that they have many other guys who can do that right now. I think in the future they'll have those guys, and those guys will develop into those stars. But right now, you know, at least for these last 2 games, you're missing your most explosive player on offense and on special teams.
Now, and the last thing I wanted to ask you about was, how much do you think has sort of been eroded from last year? I feel like if you ask Hurricanes fans last year, the approval rating of Mark Richt was 100%. Everyone was totally in on what he was doing and that this program was heading in the right direction, had grown in years one and two, and now taking a massive step back. Your colleague Chrissy Chirinos, who covers the Canes for the Sun Sentinel, tweeted out a list of things that have happened this year. Three of the four quarterbacks have been suspended. A starting linebacker was suspended. The Hurricanes had a four-game losing streak. There was a video with a large amount of cash for one of the quarterbacks, players unhappy, and a potential graduate student transfer, and a top receiver has been dismissed. This has been a pretty disastrous season. Do you feel like everything, the foundation of what Mark Richt looked like he was building here is kind of all gone now?
Well, it certainly doesn't look good and doesn't feel good, but I've been here, and Omar knows this, because we covered the team together back in the Randy Shannon days. I mean, there were some really bad days here.
Yeah. That's pretty much what you've listed. It's highlighted by the fact that it's been a bad season, but that's really college football.
Yeah, I think it's just been a bad year, but I wouldn't say that Mark Richt has lost everything. I think it's going to be an important offseason for him. I think he's going to have to hire an offensive coordinator, and I think he's going to have to definitely either develop Nikosi Perry into a quarterback or recruit one or get a graduate transfer from somewhere. But this is still a salvageable thing. At Miami, and especially if you can keep Manny Diaz on the defensive side of the football. I feel like that was such a huge problem with Al Golden. The fact that they've gone back to playing that Miami-style defense, that in itself, you know, is a victory for Mark Richt.
Now, if you're Manny Diaz now, wouldn't this be the ideal time to spread out and spread your wings?
Yeah, you'd think so. You'd think so, Omar. I think, you know, the thing with Manny is, he really enjoys coaching in Miami.
He's a Miami player, guy.
And he loves coaching these kids. Like, he's invested a whole lot of energy in all of these kids.
He also loves money, though.
That's true. And I think Miami will have to open up its pocketbook to keep him. But I think if the Hurricanes are smart, they're going to do that. And I would suspect that would be priority number one, is don't let Manny Diaz walk out the door.
Oh, Manny Diaz. Ball State's waiting for you, sir.
I will say, like,
Middle Tennessee is calling your name. It's time to go.
I feel like Miami not being good, thus him not being a finalist for the Broyles Award, is almost a good thing in some ways towards Miami's efforts of keeping him.
Nah,
because I don't feel like he's, like, last year, the turnover chain is a bigger thing.
The people who know football know Manny Diaz is a good coach, and you better go get him, because you're going to be sitting on a good gem.
Yep. Manny Navarro of The Athletic. Check him out on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Thanks for the time.
Good talking to you guys. Take care.
All right, that is Manny Navarro joining us here on WQAM.